Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to the Annenberg Radio News Update on this Tuesday, November 29th. I'm Alex Shia. Thanks for joining us. Protesters shut down an intersection near LAX and marched to the airport today as part of a national labor demonstration to support higher wages and union rights. Jenny Lauer was on the ground covering the latest chapter in the Fight for 15 movement.
When I say union, you say yes! Union! Yes. Union! Yes.
LA approved a $15 per hour minimum wage in 2015, and Governor Jerry Brown signed a statewide version of the plan earlier this year. The full increase goes into effect by 2022. But Fight for 15, the labor coalition that helped get the law passed, wants to keep the movement going.
We need a union to be able to fight for our rights day in and day out in the work area, because things happen every day and they're just swept under the rug.
Claudia Pena is a single mom with a 9-month-old daughter. She makes $13 per hour as a fast food worker. She wants consistent hours and sick time off, which she says a union can help get. Other people I spoke to were less clear about the goals of today's demonstration. But for Angel Quintero, today was mostly about showing up. She's a community organizer with Mi Familia Vota, a Latino civic engagement organization.
Yes, we are here to represent LA and, you know, California, but we also want to stand in solidarity with the rest of the nation that also should be at the $15 minimum.
As the debate over minimum wage continues nationally, Fight for 15's work looks far from done. For Annenberg Media, I'm Jenny Lauer.
It's been more than a year since a gas well ruptured near Aliso Canyon, leaking thousands of tons of methane into the atmosphere. Southern California Gas, which was in charge of the storage facility, had been embroiled in a legal battle with residents ever since. Today, a judge approved a $4 million settlement in the LA County suit against SoCalGas. Reporter Sebastian Vega has more.
A judge today approved a $4 million settlement with the Southern California Gas Company related to last year's Porter Ranch gas leak. The deal allows the company to plead no contest to a single misdemeanor charge related to the 4 months that sickened neighbors. The settlement requires SoCalGas to install a methane monitoring system at the leak site in Aliso Canyon and to pay an outside company to make sure the system is working properly. The gas company also must adopt new reporting policies for gas leaks and must better train workers in its natural gas storage facilities in LA County. Some neighbors don't like the settlement. They say the deal doesn't include compensation for their financial losses. An attorney who represents thousands of residents says he'll appeal. For Annenberg Media, I'm Sebastian Vega.
Donald Trump tweeted today that people put in jail are stripped of their citizenship if they burn the American flag. Reporter Tiffany Dupree spoke to experts about the possibility of the First Amendment changing.
The Supreme Court ruled in 1989 that the Constitution's First Amendment protects the act of flag burning, a form of free speech. First Amendment lawyer Susan Seeger doesn't think the Supreme Court will overturn previous flag-burning cases. But Seeger says Trump can influence the First Amendment in other ways.
Him continuing to criticize the press and his tweets, which could have a chilling effect on reporters who are trying to get access to the president, get press credentials. That's sort of an unseen impact that is likely.
First Amendment Center President Ken Paulson says the Supreme Court can directly influence the First Amendment, not Trump.
The only thing that can affect the First Amendment is if judges stop upholding these core principles. And we haven't seen any sign of that. The president-elect likes to run against the news media because they keep pointing out where he's been inconsistent in his public statements. But his animosity towards the news media doesn't have any impact on the original document.
As president, Trump will have the opportunity to appoint new justices to the Supreme Court. However, Paulson says it will be very difficult to amend the Constitution. For Annenberg Media, I'm Tiffany Dupree.
Parks play a key role in the health of Californians, and UCLA researcher says not everyone has access. Reporter Katie Giacobbe has more.
While more than 85% of California's non-white population has access to parks or green space, there's more to the statistic than meets the eye. Dr. Nunez Ponce of the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research says many of those parks are unsafe for visitors. Ponce says of the teens who were reported unsafe in parks, 13% are African Americans, while only about half of that are white. The recent UCLA study, The Land of Opportunity, suggests planting trees, increasing green space in urban areas, and improving other green infrastructure in communities. Ponce says data about the community can reveal a lot, as long as you understand it. but she says we need to learn more. So Ponce hopes millennials will be smart data consumers and get more involved in public health research.
This is really important because we need to be energized with the next generation of social movers. So that's my secret wish.
Ponce says those social movers may be able to help solve the park problem, which in turn will help improve the health of California's minority communities. For Annenberg Media, I'm Katie Giacobbe.
We'll finally experience mid to high 60s during the day and high 40s at night. Make sure to wear a jacket, Trojans. Winter is coming. A Super Bowl winning safety turned NFL analyst is going to be spending time in prison. Former Minnesota Viking Darren Sharper was convicted of raping and drugging two women he met at a West Hollywood nightclub. Sharper's already serving time for similar crimes in Louisiana, and he's also facing prison sentences in Nevada and Arizona. At today's sentencing in L.A., a judge ordered Sharper to 20 years in prison for the West Hollywood rapes. He's only expected to serve about half the sentence and will have to register as a sex offender. Just last week, an assault at Doheny Library prompted a campus evacuation and police response. And after yesterday's attack at Ohio State University, the USC community is questioning how to respond to a similarly dangerous situation on campus. Assistant Chief of USC's Department of Public Safety, David Carlisle, says DPS already actively trains for potential shooters. Carlisle says the first thing the university will do if there's a shooting on campus is send out emergency Trojans alert with instructions.
There's going to be different situations, but most likely it will be shelter in place. Barricade yourself inside the building, shut off your cell phones, lock the door, pile up furniture, turn off the lights.
Carlisle says there are different options if there's a shooter in your building.
Run and get away if you can. Hide if you can't get away. And last resort, fight to save your life.
DPS is planning to hold a campus active shooter drill over winter break. Leaders from all three of California's higher education systems are urging President-elect Donald Trump to protect undocumented students from deportation. Billy Raybock has more.
This morning, Cal State University, the University of California, and California Community Colleges sent a joint letter to Trump asking him to continue protecting their most vulnerable students. Earlier this month, USC similarly vowed to serve as a sanctuary school and protect its diverse student body. During his campaign, Trump said he would reverse the Obama administration program known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, or DACA. The program protects young people brought to the country illegally by their parents from being deported. Repealing DACA could have a disproportionate impact on California's student population. The state is currently home to half of all DACA recipients. As of this morning, more than 350 college and university presidents across the country have signed a petition in support of DACA. The president-elect has yet to respond to the plea. From Annenberg Media, I'm Billy Raybock.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture says more than 42 million Americans struggle with hunger. The realities of living with hunger were on display today at Santa Monica College. As Linda Wang tells us, the interactive exhibit is opening people's eyes to the problem.
A tearing big rig sits in a campus parking lot. I climb the steps onto the truck and sit down at a long wooden table. It's pitch black when voices from video monitors fill the room.
Now I'm faced here, worried about feeding my family, and we shouldn't have to do that. It makes me feel sometimes like a garbage can out there just waiting to be picked up and dumped. It really does. All this stress, all this pressure.
We've got canned food in there that's probably older than me that we've had to open up and eat.
If I had to add anything to this, it would be to get off of government assistance.
The traveling exhibit is called This Is Hunger. It brings the stories of how hunger affects children, senior citizens, and veterans in their own words. The interactive component allows visitors to plan a meal for a woman enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. True to real life, no one could exceed the $1.40 limit per person per meal. Michael Verich tried to find something nutritious that would fit the budget.
I'm just kind of doing it on paper. It's not really affecting my real life, but I could see for someone who struggles with these kind of things how difficult it would make just day-to-day living.
The exhibit also includes petitions people can sign that ask the government to improve food assistance programs. The exhibit will be up until December 18th. For Annenberg Media, this is Linda Wang.
Thanks for today and Tuesdays this semester. Garrett Schwartz produced the newscast, and Sebastian Grubach was in charge of sound. We'll be back in January after winter break. And for the last time, for all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Alex Sheehan.